Gentlemen, I heard this amazing story. I don't know if you heard the story from YY Jacobson, Rabbi YY Jacobson. This amazing story gives us a lot of chizik in these days. He says a story of somebody called Mendel Futufas, who I'd never heard about him before. He was apparently a Yid that was sent to Siberia in those days, in the Gulag, in the Stalin years. He was sent to the Gulag because he was teaching Torah no less, and he was one of those millions, hundreds of thousands, yeah, perhaps millions of people that were sent to the Gulag, and here he was in the frozen conditions, and many countless people lost their lives in the Gulag in the Stalinist years in Siberia, where the cold, the freezing conditions was not humanly imaginable, and not only that, but there was also the psychological, emotional destruction of the people there. And whilst all of them were Yidden, there was in fact many goyim who were sent there as well, many academics and prominent people who had their own minds, who didn't want to just subordinate themselves to the communist regime. They ended up in the gulags in the Siberian region of Russia. One day they gathered together in this area, and there's a few people there. One of them is a famous ex-actor, a goy, and he speaks about the glorious years. I was an actor in St. Petersburg and in Moscow, and in glorious years, and everything was lost, and he's talking about his golden years, and he's depressed now, and all he has is to talk about those years that he had in glory, in fame, and in with wealth. And his next door neighbor is a famous lawyer that lost his job too, because he was also a man with his own thought and didn't want to subordinate himself to the communist regime. A lawyer. And he was also talking about the years of fame and the years of gloriousness. And comes a third person, also talks about the past. They're all very, very depressed. One is an actor, one is a lawyer, one is a doctor, one is a teacher, one a professor. They all have these prominent, prestigious jobs. Until they look at Mendel Futufas, who was a Yid, and he was very happy. He was very happy. And they asked him, well, we know why you are happy, because you didn't lose anything. You were never particularly famous. You were never particularly important. And so now you don't mind chopping trees now here in Siberia. So Mendel said, actually, I'll tell you the truth, I was very wealthy. I was very wealthy. I had a very big business. A very big business. And I lost it all too. In fact, not only my business, but more importantly, I lost my family as well. My family means an awful amount to me. And my family is back in our home, and I've lost them all. And I've lost so much. He said, well, why are you so happy then? What keeps you strong? And he said, because my main job has not stopped. Nothing has changed really, as far as main occupation is concerned. My main occupation is to be a servant of Hashem. I'm an avid Hashem, more than anything else. And that was true in my good days, and that's true up here in Siberia now. And if that's my main occupation, then my main occupation hasn't changed. And nothing, and that's why I'm still able to live happily and without depression. And that was the big difference when Mendel Futufas was able to survive 14 years in Siberia before he ended up, he managed to get free and move to America. And I think that this perspective, that's what Rabbi YY Jacobson points out, which is a tremendous point, so that we have to realize that whatever circumstances are, and difficulties and situations, however difficult they are, and everybody's going through very difficult, challenging situations, but if you realize that our main occupation is to be the servant of Hashem, it doesn't make a difference if we are at home, it doesn't make a difference if we are in our job, it doesn't make a difference where we are and what we do, because our main occupation is to serve Hashem to the best of our abilities, wherever we are, whenever it is. Okay, gentlemen, we are up to Siman Tov Ein Ches. We're just finishing Siv Beis before we move on to Siman Tov Ein Tes. So yesterday we spoke about, we're on page 176. So what we discussed yesterday was the pasuk of Beveis Echad Ye'ochel. This, with regards to the carbon Pesach, there is the mitzvah that it must be eaten in one place. One may not eat the Korban Pesach in two different rooms or two different houses. From there we derive and we learn, not only with regards to the Korban Pesach, this is the case, but also with regards to the Afikoman. Afikoman must be eaten in one house, in fact, in one room. I want to point out, I just looked at my notes, and I realized that there was a Shiloh once of a lady that was hurrying up, rushing a little bit regards to Afikoman and the dessert, and I don't know what, and she ate half the Afikoman in the dining room with everybody else, and the second half after Koeman, of course reclining, she ate elsewhere, and in the kitchen, just preparing, or I don't know what she was busy doing, but what we are learning now is that actually she's not Yoitza Mitzvah after Koeman, because not only you may not eat the after Koeman in two different houses, but even in two different rooms, there's an Issa of B'vais Echot Yochel, as we learned from the Korban Pesach. Not only that, but we also discussed yesterday the fact that if somebody falls asleep in the middle, that's also considered in a more conceptual sense that he's eaten after Koeman in two places. We know our dreams take us very, very far. We often wonder why we don't say Tfilas Derech before we go to sleep, because our minds go so far, and therefore by sleeping, it's considered as if you have eaten that Koeman in two different places. Having said that, we're ready for Seif Beis, which moves on straight from what we learned yesterday. Somebody falls asleep in the middle of the meal, and he wakes up, he doesn't continue, can't just continue eating. And the Mishtabu explains, let us see straight away the Mishtabu in Tzivkot and Zayin, which is the fourth white line. Because the sleeping is considered an interruption. The sleeping is considered a abrupt interruption. And the Chachomi made it as if he's eaten in two separate places. And as we discussed, this is a problem. Back to the Shulchan Aruch. Pnei chabur sheyoshna miktsasan b'sei chasuda. However, if there was a group of people who were eating together, pnei chabur sheyoshnu, and pnei chabur sheyoshnu, there was a few people eating together, and some of them fell asleep, miktsasan b'sei chasuda, and some of them fell asleep in the middle of the meal. Choizrim va'oichlim, they can continue eating. So the point is, since it wasn't all of them who fell asleep, just some of them, therefore that's not considered a proper hefsek. However, in the next case, which is near the mukulam v'neiru, but if it was all of them who fell asleep and they woke up, since it's all of them, lo yoichlu, that's considered an interruption. So the point being, if you've got a group, it depends if it's all of them or some of them. If all of them fall asleep, that's considered an interruption. If some of them remain awake, that's not considered a hefsek. Continues the Rama, v'kol ze eino yelo sheyoshnu le'acha sheyischilu le'echoy le'afikoymen. This is only, everything we discuss now is with regards to them falling asleep after having started afikoymen. Aval sheino koydim leze, but if they fell asleep before they started afikoymen, so in Shulchan Oirech or in any other earlier parts of the Seder, earlier parts, that's not considered interruption. So this is specifically with falling asleep mid afikoymen, then that is what the halacha is. Now with regards to falling asleep, what does it mean exactly falling asleep? Because we know there's many levels of sleeping. So what is the sleeping level that we discuss, that we're discussing now? I know that even nowadays there's even names for various levels of sleeping. Forgot what they're called, but the brain, what is that called? There's like the brain has various layers and levels of switching off. So this is something which is known already to Chazal as well, that is various levels of depth of sleeping. What we are talking about over here the Mishnah Berurah says, what is the sleeping that we're talking about? What level of sleeping?
nisnamnu, says the Mishnah Berurah, haynu sheloi nishka bashenu kulahai, not full proper sleep, v'im shalin oiso heichon inachto klizeh, we're talking about a level of when you address him, when you start speaking to him, hey, where do you put this item? He will be able to, till you place this particular item in that specific place, Niska, he's actually going to reply and he's going to be semi-awake, sufficiently aware to answer, oy mehei noiloi. He's able to say yes or no. That means that it's not proper deep sleep. He is half asleep. Zil kolin misnamnem, that is the level of misnamdam that we're discussing. Right. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. So if everybody falls asleep, that's a problem. Even the level of misnamnu, it's a problem. It's considered a achilin shtei mekoymos. If you've got some who remained awake, that's not considered an interruption, and you can move on after continuing with the afikoymen.
When we talk about chabura, do you mean any number more than one?
Yeah.
Or do you mean specific?
No, I don't think there's any figure to that.
The family at their table, that's...
Yeah, chabur, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, we're ready for Simon Tov Ayin Tess. When I'm ready for the third cup, this is the third cup now. Okay. Now, having eaten the afikoymen, which followed Shulchan Oirech, we're now ready for the third cup. There's the third cup. The third cup is really the cup that goes with benching. We are not normally makbit necessarily to bench ala kois, but on Leda say that we do. We all do. Who will do birkas hamazon ala kois? Uvoyre pri agofen. After benching, we say boyre pri agofen. Veshoy seyu, and we drink this third kois behasevo whilst reclining. Veloy yevorech acharov, and we do not make a bracha after drinking it. Veloy yishte yain, also we will not drink any wine. Beinoy lekois revi, we do not drink wine between the third and the fourth cup. Says the Rama, miu, however, mikois shlishi, from the actual third cup, mikois shlishi, from the third cup, yochel ishtois, you may drink, you may sip, come up omim, several times. So you don't have to drink physically everything in one go. If, say, you drank your revis, but there's still more left, because it's a large cup, you can continue sipping from that cup later on as well. Come up on him several times. V'akoil, and all that, michshav shtiachas, is considered one drinking, it's considered one unit. Afalgav, tipsig mintime, although you interrupted in between, and it was quite a gap, but since he's drinking physically and literally from the third cup, that's all considered that cup, and it's fine. Let us see what Mishnah Berurah. Pardon? No, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows. Sifkotten Aleph, let's start with Sifkotten Aleph. Mois Giloi Koi Shlishi, Vetzoi Chadoche Vestifa, and it should be rinsed. The third cup, as opposed to the first two cups, it should be rinsed. Imen Noki, if it's dirty. Ve'af mishen nizor b'chol hashono, even those who are not particularly careful and makbit throughout the entire year, liro is to see imunoki, even those who are not makbit to rinse the cup before using it during the year, mikol mokom nevertheless, b'zeh alaylo, on this night. He zoher, a person should be careful mishum hidu mitzvah, because of the hidu mitzvah. Like we're makpid on countless things, we're makpid on say the night more than all the other nights. This is also one of the chumras. We're makpid to rinse the cup, which is halachically hidu to do. Sef cotton base, umivarech olav birkas hamozin, we bench with the cup of wine birkas hamozin, hafili umivarech bechidi, even if you're on your own. So never mind mezuman or minion, even if you're on your own, you're going to bench with the kois. Even according to your opinions, all generally, the birkas hamozin are doing a kois, that birkas hamozin does not require a kois, and that's how we pasken. We generally pasken that we don't need a kois for benching. Mikol mokim, nevertheless, since the Rabbonon, they decreed that one must drink four cups on this night, Belayla Zu, Yesh Lazois, there is a mitzvah, there is a mitzvah, b'chol kois v'kois. There is a mitzvah with every single, one should do a mitzvah with every single kois. That's why the Chachamim connected the third kois with benching. So although normally when I'm makpid to bench with a kois, but in this instance Chachamim connected it with a benching, and therefore you're going to bench with a kois. Right. Okay, and now Sif Cotton Hay. Now why is it that after the third cup one should not drink wine? After completing the third cup, one should not drink wine. Ben Koy Shlishi Levi. So Mishmur says two reasons for that, and we'll see him makes a big nafka mina. We'll see, because perhaps according to the two reasons, we'll find out in nafka mina if we're allowed to drink other drinks. So can you drink apple juice, orange juice? Can you drink, Coke? What about water between the third and the fourth cup? Which a lot of people tend to be very thirsty between the third and the fourth cup. So let's see what the reason is. Wine for sure is prohibited. Let's see why. Lo yishte yayin, shemo yishtake v'yishan. Perhaps you're going to drink more wine, and wine is so sweet and is alcoholic, and you're going to get shikah, v'yishan, you're going to get thirsty, you're going to get tired, and you're going to get shikah. V'lo yigmar es ha-halel, you won't have the energy to actually complete the halel. So therefore, wine is also, because it's going to make you all tired, you won't be able to complete the halel. Others have written a separate reason. Because it will appear as if you're adding to the four cups of wine. So we know there's an issa. You only have to drink four cups because these are the mitzvah. But to drink more, it is kenirik hamosiv ala koisus, and that's also. And therefore, if you would be drinking more, you kenirik hamosiv ala koisus. It appears as if you're adding to the mitzvah, which is also. So now the Mishnah continues. Because we achronim write the lav dafke yain, not only wine. Vuadin sham ashkin ameshakin, any other drink which is meshake, which is alcoholic, is going to be included in this issa. Miu, however, if it doesn't get drunk from this beverage, muta, it's permitted. However, vehu shiloyeh chama medina. This is also a problem if it is a chama medina. Again, a chama medina is a beverage which is accepted as a, how should we call it, a choshva drink, a socially accepted drink in that particular society. Something that you'd offer if somebody comes in, he pops in, just for a drink, you'd be comfortable serving it to him. Normally you wouldn't give water, normally you wouldn't give you wouldn't give a diluted drink either, but something that you'd give because, somebody who's, you want to respect it a little bit, you want to give him a drink. So any drink of that category is considered a chama medina. Anything which is a chama medina, t'imo yo chama medina, if it is a chama medina, yeish lehachmir velochus letam sheni, you'd have to worry about the second reason given. Tanire kamoisi valakoisis, because you'd appear as if you're kamoisi valakoisis. So let's think this through. He says that after the third cup, there's a problem of drinking wine. First reason is because you're going to get shikha and you're going to get tired, you won't do the mitzvahs properly. Alright, that would certainly only be an alcoholic beverage. But then there's another reason given, which is kenir kamosiv ala koisus. It appears as if you're adding to the koisus. Here the mishnebu is mechadish. I don't know what you think. I think it's quite a chiddush that the chamar medin is included in that, because you'd still appear as if you're kenir kamosiv ala kois. Because in principle. Chamar Medina is an accepted drink. It's a mochashiv drink. And you would appear as if you are adding to the four cups by having a Chamar Medina. Therefore, according to the latter reason, you may not drink any Chamar Medina after the third cup. What are your thoughts on that, gentlemen? I think it's quite a chiddush. What would be included in that? I think, what's included in that?
Tea.
Yeah. Coke. Definitely. A cup of tea would be also, according to the second reason of the Mishnah. Tea with zecher would definitely be also. Coke, I think, would offer a glass of Coke. I think all the juices, the proper juices, you know, not the diluted ones, I think would be a problem. I think many of the drinks that we have is going to be a problem. What about water? Water?
Water is not
Chamar Medina. I think water is not a Shaila. Mishnebu doesn't actually spell it out. And that's why I'm a bit hesitant, but I do feel that water is Muta even Lechatchila. I think so. Mishnebu doesn't, according to both reasons, there should be no problem of water. According to the first reason of getting Shikha, no problem with water. According to the second reason of Nirkemosiv alakosis, that certainly also can't apply with water, which is not a Chamar Medina. So pashtas, water should be fine, and I think that should be the halacha. Now, the Mishnebu now explains in the bottom line, but from the Shulchan, the Ramah said, to sip from the fourth cup, that remains fine. Why is that? So the Mishnebu explains bottom line, if it's about exceeding, drinking a lot of wine, that certainly there's no problem. You're still only having the four cups. So it's not over drinking wine. It's not a problem. And if the reason is, the problem would be, that's also not a problem. Because ultimately, that's only the fourth cup. And therefore, according to both reasons, to continue drinking from the fourth cup, to sip more and more, that is permitted according to both opinions, and therefore, Gideon, it appears that there's no machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. They're both holding that this is permitted. Okay. We'll continue with mitzvah lachzoy. We'll do that mitzvah on Sunday. Just to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned that somebody fell asleep midafik koyman, he is considered as if he's eaten in two places. We also learned that if there's other people remaining awake, if you're in a group, that's fine. We learned if everybody fell asleep, that's a problem. We learned that all this is only specific with regards to afik koyman. If person fell asleep before that, that's not a problem. Third cup, you make benching, even if generally you're not makpid on benching ala kois, on leila sid, you will be makpid. We recline for the drinking of the third cup. We do not make bracha achrona on the third cup. And then, we spoke about the issa of not drinking after the third cup. We said there's two reasons for that. Either way, you may not drink after the third cup, not only alcohol, but also Chamar Medin is included. However, if you've got a fourth cup and you just sip continuously from that particular cup, that is fine. And And that is permitted according to both understandings. Right, okay. Gentlemen, that was it for